We've been looking in our series at beginning with singleness first, okay? We've been looking at singleness first, and then we've been moving to marriage, okay? Some of you guys might feel like, oh, singleness sounds like Old Testament. And finally, we move to the New Testament portion of our series, the part on courtship and relationship, okay? We began last week by first looking at marriage. The reason why we looked at marriage first is until we know what marriage, God's purpose of marriage is first, which is actually to glorify God, to manifest the gospel, Christ's love for us in the church. And it's only until you know the end would you then shape the way you court, or that is how you're in a relationship, okay? I want to go over a Christian definition of courtship. How many of you guys ever hear people say things like, oh, Christians don't date, Christians court? Anyone hear that? If you live around in Christianese circles or speak Christianese or around church circle, you hear that, okay? I remember the first time going to church, I was thinking, huh, what is court? It sounds so, I don't know, I picture like King Arthur and things like that, okay? It sounds so serious, okay? So I want to go over this courtship, okay? I use that term synonymously, dating, just because that's what most people understand it as. But even when I say dating, I'm not saying the way the world dates, okay? I'm not talking about the way the world dates. There's Christian ethics involved with that, okay? So I use courtship, dating, and being boyfriend and girlfriend synonymously, interchangeably, okay? But when I use those terms, I don't mean, like, sense of dating of just, like, dating just to date or whatever, you know, the connotation people have sometimes, right? So I want to define this. So this is going to be, the next few weeks, I'll be breaking this down of each part of the component definition of Christian courtship. After we go over the different component, what does Christian courtship look like? Also go over many weeks from now, months from now, also go over, like, what is the qualities that God calls us to look for in terms of a person that you want to be with, okay? Now, this is relevant for all of us, okay? This is relevant for all of us in this room. If you're single, no relationship, then you know these are going to be future things you want to internalize and be yourself also first. Then secondly, then these are the people that you want to date or be with someone that's like-minded or court. And then also as well, even for those that are married, this is applicable. I would say it is. It's applicable because even as we look at this, there are some of the things that spills over and say, this is what we're heading towards, is marriage. And these are even things as we, if you're married, the possibility is very likely you will have kids, yes? Not always, sometimes biological, medical reasons. But when you do, you also want to realize that when you raise your daughters, when you raise your son, you want to raise them and talk about these things, you know? Part of my joy of doing biblical counseling for premarital counseling, I always encourage it. As part of it, I'm always surprised myself just how sometimes so little could be discussed by the church or even family members or parents about marriage, you know. And sometimes I feel like I have to even have in the past with even some, the birds and the bees talk also as well. But the thing is also as well is if we're, the church is not doing it, the world will, yes? And it's not going to be fully accurate, the things on TV, on online, things like that. It's sometimes it could be very harmful to relationship, okay? So we want to look at this. So this is what courtship is defined, okay? The period in an individual's life, so if you notice it's A to F, okay? Where he or she is not yet married. So this is involving those that are not married, okay? Obviously, if someone is married and they're still pursuing someone else, that what is that called? That's called adultery, and that's a serious sin, okay? Second point. But in a purposeful relationship that is intending to seek marriage in the new future, with a certain believer of the opposite sex, and during this season is exercising godly wisdom, discernment, and prayer, and discovering the best to the best of their ability, if the two are compatible with one another, where the possibility of marriage then seems to be God's will, who both shows indication of desire and character to live out God, a God-centered, biblically principled marriage, okay? That's actually one sentence. That's a really long run-on sentence, okay? I think the first time I wrote this was, when I was a student at UCLA when Andrew told me to do a series on relationship. So everything is here is from then, but I've changed, and it's heavily been changed, okay? I think I was actually taking a class on, like, law at the time. constitutional law. So I think that's when I got like really into long sentences at a weird point in my life. Okay, but nevertheless, it's a long sentence, but I think it captures what is Christian courtship all in one, in a nutshell. Okay, but we're gonna unpack it. Okay, we're gonna unpack each part. Okay, so like I said earlier, I use the term relationship and courtship interchangeably. But I think before even we go into that, I think no matter what station in our life, I think we must have a goal that in our Christian life, no matter what your status is, whether you're single, whether you're in a relationship, whether you're married, or whether you're engaged, we always want to pursue three A's, okay? Some of you guys like to get A's in school, like Anthony. Yes? No? Okay. All right, okay. I'm sorry. Okay? But we want to get three A's in three A's, okay? We want to get A's in these three areas in relations to God. And those are alignment, action, and attitude. What I mean by alignment is whatever you want to hold a God standard of morals and wisdom, okay? And make that God standard be your own, okay? So you're aligned to is what? Will, okay? It's the issue of renewing the mind. Remember Romans 12 talks about that, you know, we must be pursuing the renewing of the mind, okay? So we know God's will, okay? So we want to be aligned to whatever he says is the standard, we hold it to also as well, okay? And then also, it's not just only enough just to know. Because some people could say, oh, this is the right standard. This is what's right. They just go on Facebook and then type it all up and go battle people or whatever else and think somehow they're already doing God's will just because, or doing God a big favor just because they believe God's view of ethics, okay? But it's not enough. We also must have the right action, okay? It's not enough just to say, okay, this is God's standard of marriage. This is what God requires of marriage. But you must also act it out, okay? Meaning, you know, we actually live out what we say we believe, okay? James 1:22, right, makes it an issue that we must not only be hearer of the word, but be also be what? Doer of the word, okay? But also as well, another thing we must remember is also attitude. Because sometimes people know what is the right thing to do, and they do the right thing, but there's still a problem in their life. They get an A of right alignment, that is the standard of God, they do it. They have the right action, but then they have a bad attitude, right? They do it grudgingly, okay? So we want to actually have the right attitude too, because I think Scripture, if there's anyone that's, I think, the perfect example of someone that hold to the right standard and did act or do the right action, but have the wrong heart of doing it, I think the most clearest example is actually the story of the prodigal son. Not the runaway son, but the older son, right? The older son who, you remember when the younger brother came back, that story of like, that one youngest brother, he's man, it's a beautiful story, Luke 15. I could preach that sermon anytime with no notes, right? That younger son rebels. The older son always stayed with the dad. But then one day, that young son came back, and the dad threw a party. And then the older son got what? Mad and jealous, right? And he said, Father, how come you never throw a party for me? But I don't think it's literally he never threw a party. That's kind of like, you know, someone upset, right? Go to your parents. Have you guys ever told your parents, like, Dad, Mom and Dad, you never done anything good for you, me. But you know that's not fully true. You're just in a whining spirit, right? Same way, but older son outwardly was there. He was working, right? He was even doing the right action. He didn't run away, but in his heart is what? Such a bad attitude that I would even say he was willing to kill the father, okay? I actually think the father in the story represents Jesus Christ. Okay, in that parable, because the story is about the Pharisees, tax collectors. The tax collectors are worse or is sexually immoral, turning to God. But then when they turn back to God, the Pharisees, the quote-unquote outwardly religious people, were judging the others. And of course, I think that therefore means the Father represents Jesus Christ. And that older son was so bad of an attitude, he was willing to murder the son. But that's another sermon another time, okay? So in light of this, we want to have that when we approach this relationship, we want to get A's before God. By the way, we're not perfect, but we want to have his direction to please God with our alignment, our action, and our attitude, okay? So in light of this, courtship involves those that are not married, okay? So courtship involves those that are not married, but remember, something to remember is, according to God's law, physical, because we have little ears, physical intimacy is to be only within marriage bed, okay? Turn with me to Hebrews 13:4, okay? You guys all know what I mean by physical intimacy? I don't have to spell it out, okay? Because my daughters could spell, okay? So Hebrews 13:4. And by the way, our purpose is not to shelter them. We will eventually teach in its right time, okay? Yeah. Just want to explain that. Hebrews 13, verse 4.
I don't want Abby to go.
Yeah. Yeah, Hannah?
Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge.
Okay, so notice here that God means serious business, right? So physical intimacy of this kind is supposed to be when?
Marriage.
In marriage, right? I like one time I was evangelizing, someone told me, well, you Christians are so narrow-minded. Physical intimacy must be only after marriage. I was like, no, it's not after marriage. Because after marriage, when you die, there is no such thing as marriage. Therefore, there won't be that in heaven, okay? It's in marriage, okay? During marriage, okay? So Hebrews 13:4 makes it clear that we must honor the marriage bed, okay? We must have this right view. By the way, this is, you know, I can't domesticate this. I can't sugarcoat it, okay? Notice in the end it says God will what? Judge, okay? I know God is a God of love. He is. But He's also a God of justice, okay? He will uphold this and will judge fornicators and adulterers. Fornicators are those that is probably more common today, right? People that are, none of them are married at all, okay? And they're doing things. Adultery, I think in Scripture, is actually a heavier sin. That's when all these people, two or more people doing things, and at least one of them is married, and they broke their marriage vows and covenant, okay? So we see how serious it is. So courtship is meant to be, since it involves those who are single, I think we must be honest as well. As two individuals are interested in each other, there'll be what? An increase of what? Temptation between two individuals, okay? Some of those awkward counseling times they ever have, or just discipleship, is when you're discipling someone, they say they never have any temptation whatsoever. Like, whoa, that means what? 99% of the people are tempted and 1% is a liar, okay? So, with that, okay? So we must consider the boundaries, which we'll talk about in future sessions about boundaries, okay? So now courtship, let's go on now. The second point is courtship, which is our main point today. I want to look at courtship means it is for a purposeful relationship, okay? That when you're in a courtship or when you're dating, it's for what? It's for the purpose of a wonder. It should be purposeful. It's not should just be for just for hanging out or just to so anything other purpose that's less than seeking marriage, okay? If you guys see under the purpose of courtship, could you guys all read it together? It says purpose of courtship. Let's begin the part where it says it should be purposeful. You guys see where it says it should be purposeful? On a count of three, I know it's a longer sentence. One, two, three.
It should be purposeful. To see that other individuals is the one that God has called you to be married.
Okay. You know what? I catch all these. I should read out loud more because I catch all my errors. Okay. Okay. And that's part of, by the way, in marriage, you will see each other's mistake a lot, okay? Some people think marriage is like, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest one of all? Yeah. Aw, it's me, right? But you know what? It's marriage is a mirror that shows your sinfulness and need for God's grace, okay? I really do think that. You know, by the way, it's also a mirror to show God's grace working in our lives, okay? So the purpose of courtship... what is the purpose of courting, by the way? Of dating the other person is for what? Is it to have someone to go to prom with?
No.
Or is it more than that?
To make sure that you be ready for marriage, or to...
Yeah. Yeah, or you want to find out, is the time where you're finding out whether the person is ready for marriage.
Right,
yeah. Yeah. But the preparation for marriage is your whole life. By the way, if you think about it, God also is kind to us. Instead of, it's not as if like you take a whole different course in life to prepare for marriage. I think it's just work on being godly, okay? Being sociable, being loving towards the relationship you have. Everything in how you relate to others platonically or family-wise will spill over to how you are in marriage, okay? Josh, question?
Are we going to Proverbs 18:22?
Yes, we are, okay? But, so we're going to go over, I just want to go, summarize real quick before we go there. I want to further prove this point with four reasons why I say that you should only be, when you're courting with somebody, it shouldn't be you're just only hanging out with them, which is, it's fine. I'm not saying you don't hang out But it should be more than that. The intent, it should be asking the question. There's always a question in the mind is whether or not this person is going to be someone you will be making a covenant with. You guys understand marriage is a covenant? Which is a promise that you will not leave them or forsake them and will be faithful with them. It's a very sobering thing, okay? So, reason number one, marriage is a good thing from the Lord. Therefore, we want to seek for God's way. Let's turn to Proverbs 18:22. Josh, it looks like you really want to read Proverbs 18:22. Go ahead, Josh.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing that obtains favor from the Lord.
I think that's true. I think that's very true. Okay.
Like Jonathan Biana.
Yeah, like your brother Jonathan Biana. I remember when your brother found, or I don't know if it's found, but was introduced to Yana. That was a blessing. Okay. I'm thankful that your brother was the first person I ever did officiate a wedding for. Okay, I was really nervous. Okay,
I can't remember if it was hot or
it was hot.
It was hot. It was in September.
It was
the
nice.
Sun was right there.
At least like the boat was moving and we got to breathe.
Yeah, I don't know. It could have been cold winter. It would have still been sweating for me. Okay, that's what you know. It was okay. Yeah, but notice this verse is so true. Okay. Abigail, Rebecca, Hannah, could you guys quiet down? Okay. Verse 22, it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So for the man, finding a wife is a good thing. When he finds a wife, by definition, a wife, if he calls a woman a wife, what does that mean? He is now married, okay? So I could say we draw his implication further, not just only for the man, but marriage itself is a what? Good thing, okay? Anyone say amen?
Amen.
Okay. It is a good thing. By the way, statistically, our society, I think people are getting married later, if not even being married at all.
And getting married less in general, I think.
Yeah, I think so. But I also think, I think it's a tragedy with our generation and Generation Z and millennials and every, or just all of us, our generation, Mr. Burns' generation on down, because we've seen so much marriages falling apart,
yeah.
Do we not? You know, sometimes in our immediate family, sometimes in relatives and extended families and society in general, it almost asks the question, like, is this worth something? But I think for us as Christian, I am pro-marriage. I'm pro-family. Not just as a political slogan of Republicans to bash and say, oh, you know, against gay marriage or whatever else. Though, there, you know, we got, biblical marriage is between a man and a woman. But more than that, it's also, you look, and it's so sad. I think it's a travesty of our of our time. That we see marriage has been cheapened also as well.
Well,
it's been...
There's also one thing that I think you can see a lot now too is you can actually see the practical importance of marriage because like with all like the sexual
problems, controversies,
yeah.
And so yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think if we had a higher view of marriage, that would probably solve a lot of that.
Yeah. I would actually say we need a higher view of physical intimacy, but the higher view of that means it must be a high view within marriage, and a high view of marriage also as well, okay? Never forget that when you have a cheap view of intimacy, you get what you pay for, okay? You must never forget that, okay? And we're not saying this lightly or making fun of it. It is very sad for myself as a pastor, you know, just... If I could be honest with you, some of you guys I've known for a long time, I felt I was pastoring even before I was even pastor. You know, it began at 18, loving the church, you know, being made a small group leader during the time when we had no pastor when his church split, because I was 18 because the guy that was leading it fell into sexual immorality, right? And then realizing you have to pick up, it's just ugly. It's ugly, you know, but at the same time, we must have a high view of that, okay? We must have a high view. Let's go on. So if marriage is a good gift from God, it is good to seek marriage and seek it according to God's way. And how do we seek that? It's a process of finding out through what? Courtship, okay? Seek it out through the process of courtship, okay? So I do think there's a process you want to find out whether the person is meant to be. I know I mentioned this. There was a time at Grace Community Church, which is where John MacArthur is famously pastor, at a campus ministry. They have a campus ministry called Grace to You. Oh, not Grace to You, Grace on Campus, where I guess this one guy started this trend, like some Roger Chen or something. He decided just sat down with a girl and just asked her to marry, like out of nowhere. Like no one saw it coming. She didn't, but she said yes. Then some silly guys had the same idea.
She didn't know him?
Not like they kind of saw each other, you know, in campus ministry, but she never, like, he never expressed interest at all. He just expressed the first time interest to say, can I marry you? So she cried and she said yes or something. Then some of the other guys decided, we'll do the same thing. Then there was a problem with the campus ministry because girls start not going. Because why? Girls get freaked out when a guy just stands a little bit long. And it became an issue because why? A lot of the girls start, I guess there was a few other girls that said yes. Then the pastor had to address because why? Like, it started freaking out. Like, the girls, you know, were trying to go to other churches and everything else. Because why? Because they thought any moment, any guy just saying hi could be, it means, like, you know, you're going to get married or something or propose to, which is crazy, okay? By the way, that is crazy. You don't know somebody, and then boom, right? Or no one knows each other and with that, okay? So I think that's not necessarily all biblical either, okay? So I think it's important that when you do want to seek that, you also want to ask the question, is this the one, okay, that you could glorify God again? By the way, I know in our world we talk a lot about compatibility, yeah? But I think marriage, number one thing, is not the issue about compatibility. Because if you keep on thinking about compatibility, sooner or later you're going to find a lot of things that's incompatible with you because of sin nature, because nobody's the same, you know? If someone looks exactly like you, there's either two things. It probably is you loving yourself, okay? Or number two, you made a mirage of who that person is. You know, you airbrushed them to be exactly what you think that person is. So the issue I actually think with marriage, that will make marriage work, is not so much compatibility. There is that dimension, but primarily it's about commitment. Okay, I think it's primarily about commitment. There needs to be some compatibility. I actually think the biggest compatibility is, what do you believe about God? Okay, what do you believe about God the most? And how involved are you with letting God work in your life? Okay, but let's go on now. So I think if marriage is a good thing from the Lord, then we want to seek it God's way. And that's why when you want to find out someone, is this person meant to be that you marry? To glorify God, not to make yourself happy first. When you ask those tough questions, when you want to find out about each other, that process is already called courtship, okay? So therefore, that is why one of my argument for why biblical courtship is purposeful is for the purpose, as we said earlier. Marriage is a good thing. And if we want to seek this good gift from God, we want to do it His way of finding out. And doing that already is called courtship, okay? Therefore, courtship is purposeful for the purpose of marriage, okay? Well, let's go to reason number two. If courtship is not for the purpose of pursuing a possible marriage that will glorify God, then our relationship then will pursue wrong goals, okay? If it is not pursuing that, and some of these goals, by the way, are not necessarily sinful in of itself, but when it's above all the other things. Remember, if you guys remember, a few weeks ago we went over bad reasons to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, some of those reasons aren't bad in of itself. Some of it, when you're courting somebody. So I hope you guys don't leave the room tonight and think, like, Jimmy's saying, when I court with someone, you should just be, like, straight face, never smile, never, like, have, like, wonderful moment. That's not what I'm saying. I think those things will come naturally, as it'll naturally grow. But at the same time, it's an issue of priority, okay? We've already looked at bad reasons to be in a relationship. That also applies for marriage and also for courtship, okay? As a reminder, sometimes people in the world, and sadly in the church too, date another person for the following reasons, okay? For what? Receiving attention. Have we ever wanted a relationship just mainly to have someone actually pay attention to us? You know, if we're honest, probably yes, okay? Especially younger years, right? Now, I think most 13-year-olds that want to be in a relationship is probably not primarily, in America, in the West, is probably not primarily about seeking marriage for God's glory. They just want someone to give them attention, for instance. Or affections. Again, by the way, and there's nothing wrong with affections or feelings, but it's, I think, more than that, okay, in pursuing courtship. Significance, okay? Some people feel, when people ask, oh, are you single or in your relationship, they really feel pain to say that they're single, right? And that's understandable. I don't want to make fun of that, okay? I want to be sensitive with that in a rightly way, right? But really, It should be more than that. Or security, right? Or stability, whatever you want to call that, okay? Or different shades of that. But those needs are ultimately found in who? In Christ. Yeah, in Jesus, okay? And not in relationship first, okay? By the way, if one tries to find these things apart from Christ, they're going to be disappointed, okay? If let's just say a sister wants to receive attention, therefore she gets in a relationship, will that guy always pay attention every time? Will his phone have a text and then suddenly, oh wait, will there be sports that he might be caught up with? Will there be a time where he's just, hey, honey, I'm just going to go real quick, just me with the brothers and we pray together with Pastor Jimmy, right? Yeah, those are godly things. Then there'll be a crisis. Then she's going to think, oh, is this relationship worth it? Wait, is this, what's going on, right? Or affections, okay? By the way, let's talk about the guys too. I don't want to talk about girls only, okay? The guys, if they primarily wanted to be, is to be loved, will there be time the wife might be nagging? Or the wife might not be as loving? Yeah. Then what happens then? Does that person then lose his or her mind? And therefore cause more problem and dissension and everything else? No, he's still secure. Not that he's happy. But there's a sense, even though there's marriage problem, yet there's a sense of stability because he's found his love ultimately from who? From God and Christ. Does that make sense? His whole world is not all come crumbling down in the same manner as if he's seeking the love of his wife that only God could love for him, right? Or significance, okay? By the way, we're made in the image of God, right? And our identity is in Christ. He's redeemed us. We're saved. In some sense, we're not significant in some sense because we're all sinners. We deserve to be judged. But we're yet there is a sense of dignity. We're made in the image of God, and God has redeemed you. You are purchased by the valuable blood of Christ, and we're thankful for that. But if you find significance on whether or not you're called Mrs., right, MRS, Lee or whatever else it is, then that is going to be a problem too, right? Are you going to hold on to it so strongly? You're going to choke that husband or choke that girl or wife, right? And they're going to feel, oh man, this is really controlling. I got to leave, okay? Or security, okay? We never know. People could pass away. You know, I talk to Nancy about this often. Like, man, it's never guaranteed. You know, I'm enjoying my 8 years in the marriage. I enjoy my marriage more than my first year of marriage. But at the same time, I also know any moment, things could happen. Right, one of us could have cancer, I could pass away, we could drive somewhere, in the midst of driving somewhere, an accident happened, right on the 405 or whatever else, and bam, that's it, right? But our security ultimately must be in Christ, okay? So, in these things, if we pursue those things sometimes, more than Christ, we will be disappointed. If we find these things in relationships, we will be disappointed. And by the way, if one finds these things in relationship instead of Christ, sometimes it's an issue of idols, right? An idol is a sin. And the way of a sinner is what? Hard, right? It's self-inflicted in that sense, okay? So that's one of the reasons why I would say pursue it for purposely. Because if you're not pursuing it, even when you say it's not, if you can't be you're dating for dating's sake itself, okay? It got to be something more than that, that makes it beautiful, okay? And by the way, it has to be even more for marriage, too. Like, even marriage is not just for marriage's sake, also. It's for what? Glorifying God. Anytime my wife forgives me, if she's in marriage, is showing the glory of God by showing, hey, God forgive me, therefore I forgive my yo-yo husband, okay? So the same, anytime I'm going to be self-sacrificial, that means I'm also displaying the gospel, right? That I'm self-sacrificial because Christ has been so sacrificial with me. And therefore it's a mirror to each other and also to who? The world also as well. Okay? And to our kids. Okay? So let's go now to the third reason why we want purposeful relationship. If courtship is not for the purpose of pursuing a godly marriage, then it opens up the door to what? Sexual sins. Okay? Remember, sexual immorality is a sin. Remember Hebrews 13:4? By the way, there's a lot of other passages that talk about sexual immorality. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6:18. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Caleb, just because you're next to Josh, would you read 1 Corinthians 6:18?
Immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the the moral man sins against his own body.
Yeah, so here we see sexual immorality is what? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? We see scripture, what? It says flee, okay? Run, okay? Run. Run, because it is an immorality. It is something that is against God and does not please God, okay? So in light of this, if your relationship is not purposeful, or it's just the purpose is only for those reasons I mentioned earlier, or just for relationship's sake, remember, as you are getting closer to one another, guess what happened? You will get closer and will intensity and your interest for the other person heighten. Will it heighten naturally over time? Yeah, all things being equal, unless it went bad, and then of course you're out of that, right? But if you're constant, the longer you're in the relationship, the longer it will be what? Growing, okay? It will be heightened, and therefore, there's no outlet, right? There's no end. And therefore, sooner or later, you will be what? Engage in these very things that God prohibited, okay? But by the way, you guys understand the reason why? I mean, there's many reasons. You know, sometimes people think, oh, the Christian ethic is such killjoy. You mean you can never do anything of this nature except in marriage? Why is it so strict? By the way, I also think if you don't, within marriage, there's a problem of also what? I think that kind of area of intimacy of life is very vulnerable, yes? I mean, the person is seeing who you really are. You know, all your quote-unquote, in your mind, flaws, right? Or whatever else is very vulnerable, right? And then if there's no stability and security, that's also very, what, hurtful, yeah? Yes? It's very hurtful. So therefore, if there's no commitment, right, if there's no love in other areas, then or true love and commitment, then therefore it's very, what, painful, okay, of an experience, okay? I know in this room speaking here, we don't have to name names or anything else. I think some of us have experienced that firsthand, right? But by the way, my message is not to say, oh, bad on you. I praise God that God's redeemed you, has brought you out of that lifestyle. But you're not second-class Christian, okay? God has saved you from that. He's restored you. All of us have sinned, okay, in that way. But He's redeemed us with that. But you know what that it was like to be in that relationship. And even with the, you know, I don't know if young people still say this today, right? The players also get what? Play, right? Sometimes even the people that say, oh, I'm all about the physical act, but guess what? After a while, I say, oh, man, I'm actually attached to this person. And the other person just laughs, like, oh, are you serious? I thought you're just a player, right? So that's the truth. Is you're playing with things that God has designed for a married couple. It's like super glue for the marriage, okay? It's super glue. You're pouring super glue all over yourself. And I don't know if you ever got stuck with super glue, Gorilla's glue, whatever. It, man, when you try to remove it, it's like it's painful, okay? But in you're doing in something that was not meant to be, in an area that's not meant to be, okay? So God has designed it. It's a good thing. The reason why we are so strict is not because we are scared of it or somehow we don't know anything about it. It's because of how valuable of a gift that is, right? How valuable. Some of you guys have nice cars, which is in your Christian liberty, okay? But with a nice car, you treat that very, what, carefully. How you drive, you probably wouldn't be driving like the first year I drove, just bang my car everywhere, right? But I remember thinking, wow, you know, driving someone else's car is like, whoa, I need to be even treat this even more carefully because this is valuable. This is someone else's, right? Same thing, this is a gift from God and we treat it seriously, okay? So courtship is not for the purpose of godly marriage. It does open up the temptation with no outlet, okay? By the way, even in a relationship, it's already a Christian courtship. There's always tension already, okay? Just being very real, okay? If you ever want to see, some of the single guys think I'm really strict in the past, would tell me, oh, Jimmy, you're so mean. You meet up with me and, you know, you ask me how I'm doing and I think you're a witch hunter. No, I'm not. You want to see strictness? I think the strictest Bible study we have is actually couples meeting, where I do ask that question. Every month, some of the guys brace like, hey, what's your boundaries? I think, oh, okay. I know, Jimmy, you're going to ask. This is my boundaries. How are you doing? Oh, well, we're struggling with that. Have you guys gone beyond it? No. But we're really close. I'm so sorry. You know, but then we pray. It's not just guilt tripping, right? We pray for God's grace. And sometimes just say, you know what? Let's just get married. Or they need to just get married, right? With that, okay? Yet there's an outlet. But think about a relationship where there's no outlet. Eventually, sooner or later, there'll be what? There will be this immorality, right? Listen, we need to stop believing what ads and the world's tells us that relationship is primarily about us, right? Think about the way the world presents relationship. Think about Budweiser ad, right? It's like, oh, you, to pursue happiness, right? A six-pack here of Buds, right? Six-pack of woman here and a six-pack right here. Six, six, six. And we think that's a source of, like, somehow godliness, when that's the spirit of the Antichrist itself, right? So I think in light of that, we must see that in terms of relationship, if we don't have the purpose of heading towards marriage, that opens up the door with that temptation. My wife and I, we waited until we got married, okay? By God's grace. It's not because, I'm not saying this because we're awesome. It's because of God's grace. But if I could say this, if it was not for the purpose of marriage, if we're just wandering around, just whatever, then boredom, curiosity leads to sin. But if you're the purpose, I actually think sometimes the way to keep things pure is actually remembering the purpose of that, okay? This is why I think it's very important to talk about these things. I want it to be tonight, you don't leave just say, Jimmy's just talking about being strict, but to see the beauty of what we're talking about and internalize it. This is why I want to do it for the glory of God, okay? Reason number four, why we should date with a courtship, should be purposeful and purposeful in marriage is because we see many examples in scripture of this, okay? Because of time, one example is Isaac loved Rebekah, married her, okay? Turn with me to Genesis 24. You guys remember the story of Isaac?
Isaac 24 and 63.
Yeah, you want to read? Let's have Anthony read verse 63. Yeah, that's fine. Just 63.
He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching.
Yeah. And verse 64, since you want to read it, go ahead and read it again.
Rebecca also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel.
And of course, you see in verse 64, she said to her servant, who's this man, right? And he's my master. By the way, do you remember how Rebecca is going to be the lady that marries Isaac? But how did Isaac and Rebecca meet? Was because what happened before? The father sent what?
He sent his servant out.
Say again?
He sent his servant out.
Yeah, right? And therefore, she went with her maid. And therefore, by the way, this shows, by the way, I think arranged marriage is not necessarily wrong. I think a lot of times people think of a caricature of arranged marriage. But at least for me, talking, one of Andrew's friends in seminary, Sam Matthews. So you guys, any of you guys remember Sam Matthews? This was a long time ago. He's Indian, from India. Indian, okay?
Were they arranged marriage from, like, childhood?
Yeah, they were arranged marriage. But it was not like we think of it today as, oh, they're forced no matter what, gun to the head, no matter. No, they brought them together when they're a bit older, and then say, hey, we're going to leave you alone for 30 minutes, talk to each other, and then came back, and then they, both families talked, could you guys see each other? I'm interested. Yeah, I'll be interested. Maybe we get to know each other more. Okay, let's go forth with this more. So it's not this caricature you picture, like, you know, like, I don't know, some Chinese movie soap opera, okay? So it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Say again?
Marry or we disown you.
Yeah, marry or disown you kind of thing, okay? So that's not necessarily with that, too. By the way, I'm going to be going to a part of the world that arranged marriage is normal, okay? But then the Christian version is very different than the rest of the world. Go ahead. Or the part of the world.
Yeah, parents acting as the matchmakers actually a really good idea.
Yeah. By the way, over there, when I was there, pastors are matchmakers, too. So I remember when I went with our brother Eric, right? Eric is, back then was 30 years old or 31. He was single. And then they asked me to talk about relationship. So there was a sense of attention because the pastors kept on saying, hey, this is a pretty good truth, but hey, why is this guy not, you know? And they were like looking at me like, what's wrong? So at one point, they even asked Eric, God bless Eric because he protected me. They asked Eric, is your pastor taking care of you? Like, they asked straight out, like, is your pastor being a good pastor? Is he taking care of you? Well, you know, well, you know. And I was like, what does you know? Well, marriage. And then, you know, like, well, marriage. I was like, And then Eric, you know, like, I was going to answer that, like, you know. And then Eric just said, look at him and says, yes. You know, and says, oh, he is. Okay, very good. Okay, we were afraid he wasn't applying the things we're teaching him here. And I was like, wow, like, they're really hands-on, okay? With that. And, you know, part of it is our American intuition, we're so individualistic. You know, it repulsed me. It's like, wow, you guys are really involved. But then I started thinking, wait, maybe it's a cultural thing. Maybe something we can learn is we're so individualistic, right? But part of it is, you know, I think the view is not to be dependent upon others. We need to be dependent on Christ. But there's a role of community also as well, okay? So you see Isaac, you know, loved Rebecca. He married her. The other example is Jacob loved Rachel. He married. Now, we will actually be looking at Jacob and Rachel a little bit because I think Jacob and Rachel was an interesting episode where I don't know if Jacob really guarded his heart, okay? It's kind of funny. Turn over to Genesis 29. So Genesis 24, go a few chapters later, Genesis 29. So Jacob, I don't think he was necessarily always very godly, okay? There's time when I read Jacob, I felt like, man, I like his brother Isaac, Esau more, okay? Because Jacob, Isaac feels like he's a musclehead, okay? Like, he might beat you up, but then Jacob's going to take everything from you. He'll beat you up and sue you and take everything you belong and run away with his mom's help, right? Because he's like this mama's boy kind of thing, okay? So it's almost like, man, I really, humanly speaking, like, it's hard for me with that. But you know why God shows grace to him? It's not because he's deserving, right? Like, I'm like Jacob. We're like Jacob. But it's because of what God's grace, right? If you guys look with me in Genesis 29, verses 9. This is boy meets girl, right? While he was speaking with them, Rachel came up with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess, okay? So, you know, he was asking people like, hey, whose well this is? And then he saw Rachel, and he thought it was what? Love at first sight. Look at his reaction, verses 10. Can I have a...
When Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob went up and rolled a stone from the mouth of the well and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother.
Suddenly he got strong, right? He's going to be flexing his muscle. What did he do? He rolls a little stone. At first, you're like, oh, okay, that's good. That's a, you know, that's a suave, slick move, right? But then look at verses 11. Oh, man, verses 11 gets kind of, oh, some really dicey event goes on. Verses 11, could I have, Jane, would you be able to read verse 11?
Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted his voice and wept.
Okay. Then it gets kind of strange. Like, he just helped this woman move the rock from the well so that they could get the water. Then he goes up and what? Like, he kisses her, right? And then he cries, what Jen says, right? Literally in the Hebrew, the lifted voice is like, right? He's going Chewbacca status. And he's crying, okay? And it's like, could you imagine being Rachel? You're just watching some sheep. It's like, what? Like, what's going on? Like, hashtag me too, right? Is going on here, okay? Verses 12, okay? Jacob told Rachel that he was a relative of her father. It's like, what? It's like, no, let's look at our Facebook status. We're like, you know, you see some commonality. That's weird. And then he was Rebecca's son. And she ran and told her father, right? By the way, we'll look at this passage later on when we talk about the role of fathers in courtship, okay? But notice that, I mean, this is interesting. But yet notice what happened. They're courting for the purpose of relationships. So not everything he does is wrong, okay? So he agreed to what? Work for 7 years, okay? But that's another sin another time. Ruth. I think Ruth is a beautiful love story, okay? I know when we went survey of Ruth, I already mentioned it before, I don't want to repeat the whole thing. But I don't think everything Ruth did was necessarily all clean. Like, don't say, oh, Jimmy, I could go to a guy's house that I like. Open his window, right? Go in, climb in his bed, and you know the part that says feet? I hate to say this. In Hebrew sometimes, that's a euphemism for something else. Maybe I'm wrong, okay? I could be wrong. But you should never put your head... It's just two TMI still, okay? No matter what, okay? But then, what did he do? He did the right thing, right? Did he take advantage of her, Boaz? No. He did the right thing and say, okay, you know what? You stay here tonight, but I'm going to leave now. And I'm going to go what? Protect this person's purity? But also go to the village elders and do the right way, okay? According to the custom and everything of their time, okay? So in light of all this, there's an application that relationships should be pursued with a purpose. And what's that purpose? Yeah, for the purpose of marriage, okay? By the way, could I say this? I actually think the biggest part of dating should happen in marriage.
Now, don't run away and say, well, Jimmy says I can never go to Disneyland with you anymore. No, that's not what I'm saying, okay? But what I'm trying to say is sometimes we think we just arrive when the person just say, hey, you want to go grab coffee? All right, yes. We put it on Facebook. We take Instagram picture. And nothing wrong with that. But realize, hey, it's just the beginning. With that. So first part of the application is in relationship, pursue clarity more than intimacy. I wish that quote was original, but it's not. It's by a guy named Marshall Siegel, okay? He's the editor of, he's the online editor of Desiring God. You guys been to John Piper's website, some of you guys do, read a lot of good relationship stuff. A lot of it is him, okay? By the way, he married a girl, he's like from like Michigan or something, Minnesota, one of those M states with many lakes, okay? He actually married, I think, a Filipino gal out in Baldwin Park, a lot of things, right? So we're trying to have him as a guest speaker for Veritas Conference, okay? So pursue clarity more than intimacy. I think that's the part that's helpful. Because if it's the purpose of wondering about marriage, then rather than focusing on how intimate you are as a primary focus, I think the intimacy and the interest will heighten, will naturally grow. But your primary purpose is to find out what? Pursue clarity. What I mean by clarity is, people often think of dating as a time of primarily seeking intimacy. But it's not. Instead, the primary purpose is to seek clarity. And what do we seek clarity on? It's whether this you and that other person is called by God, so far as you can tell, that God has called you for the purpose of marriage. To glorify, not yourself, but to glorify God. Okay? So that's a primary question you're trying to ask. You're trying to seek. Courtship is a transition phase. Okay? It's a time of question mark phase. Okay? So load your Facebook in relationship, question mark, right? But without the part that says it's complicated, okay? But a question mark of saying, is this the person I'm pursuing for marriage? That means what? We must pursue relationship. We ask a lot of questions, okay? There ought to be more light than heat, okay? Heat, I mean by that passion. Passion, it will be there. We must acknowledge that. We'll talk about boundaries in other hours, other weeks, okay? So we must pursue that, okay? That means knowing, finding out about that person, a lot of questions, okay? So ask yourself these questions in relationship. So ask these questions, by the way, honestly. Be brutally honest with yourself. Number one, am I looking for a relationship for any other reason besides considering the possibility of the relationship heading towards marriage? Sometimes people still remain in a relationship even though they know, oh, I can never see myself marrying them. Of course not. They ask that question. They stay because of what? For many reasons that then reveals the idol of their life. Because they want to look good. Because they somehow feel loneliness. They don't know how to handle loneliness biblically. Okay? They're not sure if God is good. They're not sure if God is good. Okay? They're not sure if maybe there's someone else in the future. They're willing to settle. Okay? All these kind of questions. Okay? Can you see, another honest question you ask yourself, can you see yourself marrying the individual and that the God of the Bible will be pleased and be glorified by it, okay? Doesn't mean it's perfect, but you ask yourself the question, would God generally be pleased with you guys getting married? Wedding invitations are often sent out, but I hope the first person mentally in your mind, that you have as first wedding invitation is who? It should be to God. Okay, like obviously you don't physically actually say it, but mentally in your mind, saying if you were to have the first wedding invitation, it ought to be for God first. Okay. Third application set of questions: do the two of you have serious discussions about various facets of marriage, not just about wedding plans? I think sometimes when people get serious about marriage, they start asking a lot of questions about wedding. That's nothing wrong with it. You need to ask about the wedding, but I always look more beyond the wedding. By asking the question, as a pastor with counseling people, by asking questions about the marriage itself, and the question about who they are, and not just compatibility, but deeper than that, their commitment towards Christ, okay? Do you have ask questions about each other's commitment to God, and commitment to what God's plan look like, okay? Good areas to talk about is, I do think theology is a good thing to talk about. For myself, when I was looking for someone, I was also asking the question, with Nancy, is like, could you be someone that trusts in God's sovereignty? Now, I know some people struggle believing God's sovereignty. Even as Christians, there's different
theological views on God's sovereignty, but also that's very practical, because what? In life we will have suffering. What if there's a future, an accident where a child ends up being handicapped? I don't want to do that, but when those tough times happen, what's going to happen? Is she going to just only blame herself? Is she going to blame me? Is this going to destroy me? Or do we believe in God's goodness and His sovereignty, right? And His sovereignty, okay? So that's important. There's important questions about also biblical view of manhood, womanhood, okay? By the way, I'll talk about this more later on. There's been studies done about washing dishes in marriages, okay? Marriages, traditionally we often think the woman wash the dishes. By the way, as a man, you should always be ready to wash the dishes too. But there's actually been studies, you can Google this. Relationships, which one do you think is more prone to divorce? Relationship where the man washes the dishes or the woman washes the dishes? Now, before you throw an axe, I'm going to be qualified nuances after this, okay? But according to study, which, by the way, these are not Christians or like a bunch of Mormons at Brigham Young University or something like that, okay? These are just regular psychological studies and stuff like that, or family studies to be specific. You know which relationship is more, the correlation, not a causal relationship, but correlation. Which one is more likely prone to divorce? The man washing dishes only or the woman washing dishes only? What do you guys think?
The woman?
No. Yeah, the man, actually, when the man washes it. But that's not to say, please do not go home, guys, please do not go home and say, hey, mom and dad, please don't do the dishes anymore because, Pastor Jimmy says, or please don't be a jerk, right, and say, I'll never do anything. Therefore, hey, woman, make me a sandwich, right? Hey, that's not what I'm saying, okay? That is not what I'm saying. Nor am I saying that you washing the dishes saves your marriage, but I think there's an undercurrent for both, and that's actually a biblical view of marriage, of manhood and womanhood, of what is the role of a man as provider, protector, right, that kind of thing. And woman is helping. But we'll talk about it more. That does not mean you never help at all. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. Please don't say this. Oh, Jenny, you just abuse your wife. That's not, I hope, Nancy, you could testify. That's not what I'm saying. But at the same time, I think there's a correlation of like, hey, well, when you have an agreement, what is a biblical view of roles, gender roles, okay, with that? There is an impact with that, okay? Let's go on. Do the two of you have serious discussion about also each other's spiritual life, okay? About each other's spiritual life. Good questions are always asked is, what? How are you doing? But everyone will always say, oh, fine, right? But the next set of questions is, hey, what has God, what have you been reading from scriptures? Well, I haven't read the Bible in 5 years. I don't know if that might be safe, okay? By the way, don't throw right away, the next question I like often ask is to say, hey, what has God been teaching you, right? Sometimes God is teaching, even though they might be struggling with a devotional life, with really powerful lessons, okay? So find out, by the way, if the other spouse struggles with that, if the other thing, the other person, be patient, but also pray for that person with that, okay? And also, open the Word of God, what, together, okay? If that person has not done it for a long time, don't do an hour and a half Bible study, okay? I love the Word, but that's probably not the time to do 1.5 hours. Just start small, okay? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, etc., okay? By the way, for me, I always think that the spouse always thinks, if you're godly, the spouse would always think you teach the best Bible study, okay? We have a seminarian. Whenever we have seminarians, I always look, when sermons preach, you know what I look? I'm looking at the preacher, but I'm always looking at other people too. I'm always looking at the wife. If the wife is like, he says, love your wife, and she's like this, that's a bad sign of the marriage. He's probably not called to the ministry. He doesn't have his house in order, right? By the way, if you ask a wife, say, it's never a competition, okay? I hope it doesn't make it a competition. But if you were to say, okay, who's the best preacher that you minister to? If your wife says, oh, that person, say, wow, praise God, right? Say, oh, I would rather listen to you than John MacArthur. Say, wow, that's amazing, because John MacArthur is listened by so many people, okay? So realize that the goal is just start small, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever else, okay? And the purpose of, let's go on also as well, ask each other.
What if that's not the case, that they would, that they also want to listen to someone else?
I think that's okay. Nancy's favorite preacher is Alex Urbay.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, interesting.
That's true, right?
It used to be.
It used to be. Okay, who is it now? No, who I was like, who is it right now? Okay.
I don't know
if
it changes.
Yeah, it changes. But it depends. But if he's not on the top, oh, you know, the... Yeah, but by the way, I think it's okay to realize that there's gifted men that God has given, okay? Mm-hmm. The reality is that, so it's not a competition, but if that person is not interested at all with the spouse's teaching, that's what I'm saying is the problem, okay? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What happened?
He's imitating
somebody. I'm imitating
Alice Ray. Oh, Alice
Ray? Okay. He also saved by fiat.
Is it just me, but could you guys tell different Irish accents? I feel like you listen to a regular Ireland accent, it sounds like they're going to just drink something and have a good time and the St. Patrick's Day all over again, okay? But Northern Ireland, right, it sounds like terrorists in the making, right? It's like IRA, you know, we were talking about the Sinn Féin and we're talking about Ulsters and... And it just sounds so cloudy and everything else, okay? But anyways, that's another sermon another time, okay? That's stereotyping now, I know, that's terrible bad. Okay, let's go back on, so I don't get in trouble with things. So be gracious, okay? And also, if you find out, the purpose of it, then you resolve that if it does not work out, you need to what? Call it off, okay? You know, I'm actually going to go over in this series about how to break up. Not that I want to break up with people, okay? But sometimes I think we need to cover this. Because most books on Christian relationship, they never talk about... I have not read any about breaking up. There's a book about picking up the pieces that when you break up. But I think that needs to be part of it, too. We need to talk about it. Now, do I like to see people break up? I really don't, okay? I don't. I'm praying for every relationship that's going on right now in our church or potential. I'm praying it works. I pray... I have been in the middle of the night at 3, working out, listening to Paul Washer, and thinking, no, I need to stop right now. I need to pray that this relationship will work. Lord God, please, don't let them break up. Let it work. Let that person grow in godliness and everything. But the truth is, there's times where it is. Right? We'll talk about this later on because it's going over time. I think the good example of breakup is Joseph and Mary. Okay? But we'll talk about that sermon another time for the sake of time. Okay? Let me stop at this point here. Is there any questions? But again, before we go to questions, why do we do all this? Is ultimately, we do it all for who? For Christ, okay? And even though it's painful, okay? By the way, men, you're called to initiate relationship. It's painful, okay? It is painful. I know I gave the analogy before. It's like being kicked in a certain part of your life. There's no amount of training you could have, right? You can train to be a firefighter with different things, but none of us should be sitting around and say, hey, kick me here. Because no matter how many times, the first time or the 100th time, it's always painful. But that's what God has called us to do. Okay? But we do it in a way that is genuinely and godly as a brother. We also protect the sister's emotion as much as possible and allow them room to move on. Okay? Why do we do this? We do it for the glory of God. Okay?